This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
It's a tragic yet complex sugya. Korach obviously should not be understood as someone who was just a simple Baal Machlekes, a rabble-rouser. You know, in every group of people, you always have the lower element that causes trouble. We call them the troublemakers in the shul. Every rav, or every head of any organization, he knows quite well who these people are, the troublemakers, the rabble-rousers, the complainers, the ones that cause problems. Korach was not that. Korach was much bigger than that. Korach was much greater than the Hameinam, as we soon will learn. His intent was a lot more complex than just outright machlekes. For people who love to make machlekes for the sake of machlekes, this is not Korach. And the biggest proof is the fact that the Mishnah has to identify the difference between Korach v'Hadassah and Shammai and Hillel. What's a machlokes l'shem Shemayim? What's a machlokes that's not l'shem Shemayim? The Mishnah Novice. If it's quite clear that this was just troublemaking and bickering and machlokes for the sake of machlokes, I wouldn't need a Mishnah to teach us to identify what is a machlokes of Korach, the difference between him and Shammai and Hillel. Kanireh, it was much more deeper, and the way I would like to say, there was a fine line. A fine line that separates Korach to Shammai and Hillel to the point that the Mishnah has to teach us to identify the difference. If not, maybe we would make the mistake and think, you know, maybe that Korach had a point. If Korach was stam mizakt, stam acta chaynik, the Mishnah wouldn't have to come and teach us the chilik between Korach and Shammai and Hillel. It's yidua, Sat Barav used to say over that his zeder, his machmesha, would say that he's a Gilgal for the third time, but originally from someone who was there during the time of Korach. He was one of the bystanders that saw the machlekes of Korach in an original Gilgal. When asked on what side was he on, Meisha or Korach, so there's different versions of it. All of them are saying the same point, that it wasn't that simple. Some versions are saying, had you heard Korach, you wouldn't have a question whose side I'd be on. I'd definitely be on Korach's side. Had you heard Korach, you would have been on Korach's side. So don't ask me whose side I'm on. Others say that he answered he wouldn't take any part of it, but he was on the fence. If you learn that Korach was stam hacking, you misunderstood Pasha's Korach. Korach is I guess it had many facets to it, a machlekes in Klal Yisrael. Had many angles, many facets, many points to the machlekes. Now, Chazal tell us, Tanchum Rashi quotes it, that Parsha Zu Yofa Nidreshes. It's the first Rashi in Parshas Korach. Parsha Zu Yofa Nidreshes. B'medrash Rav Tanchuma. Okay. No, not like that. We'll go over nicely, he'll tell. The Parsha Zu is Yofa Nidreshes B'medrash Rav Tanchuma. What does Rashi mean? Yofa Nidreshes. I'm sorry, Rabbi Hecht. Yof, what does it mean, Yofa Nidreshes? So Bemis, there's a Taz that asks a Kasha. The Gemara in Ervin says that it's not right to say that this Limud of Torah is well, it's nice, it's good, and this one is not so good. If someone does that, says the Gemara in Ervin, he's Ma'abid Heinei Shol Torah. He loses the wealth that Torah has to offer, because everything in Torah is good. So if you single out something to say this is good, you're Ma'abid Heinei Shol Torah. So how could Rashi say that it's well gedarshent, what everything else is not as well and not as nice? And it's a... So the truth is, you can answer that maybe the problem is saying this is good and this is no good. But if you only say one side, that this is good, and you don't say that the others is not good, then it's not a problem. But the Taz says no. The Taz says either way you're not allowed to say. You're not allowed to say this is good, nor are you allowed to say this is good and this is no good. But even to say this is good and this is nice and this is good learning and this is good Torah, you can't say that. So how did Rashi say Parshas Zu Yofan Nidreshes? I believe the Pashup Shat, and this is what Rashi means, it doesn't mean Yofan nice. Yofan means well extendedly, Gedarshan. And what does Rashi mean to say? You know, normally when it comes to machlaikis, the best thing is to, so to speak, push it under the rug. What do you have to go back into a history and bring out history, and yet if you look at Parshas Korach, the Medrash, it's every nekuda, every prat, every part. Chazal went in to go into every detail of the machlaikis. What do we need it for? It's an ugly event. Forget it. Cover it over, jump over it, we have to get into every detail. Smart people, when they talk about things which are not so pretty, Beremiza, like even see Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gives Teichacha to Klal Yisrael, how does he do it? Beremiza. So here too, why would the Chachamim go and elaborate, alright, Kaira, forget it, it happened, Weitergegangen. And the Teretz is Rabbeis. And the truth is interesting. People don't know that Chassidim have a minig. Many Rebbes didn't say Torah on Parshas Korach.
What?
They didn't say Torah, Chedushi Torah on Parshas Korach. Why? To say good about Korach, which we're soon going to learn, Korach was a great person. That they didn't want to do because he was fighting with Moshe Rabbeinu. So they don't want to say good. To say bid, they also don't want to say bid. Korach. Some have the Nusach. He was the grandfather of the Chayzim Lublin. The Chayzim Lublin's grandfather was Korach. As a matter of fact, the Chayzim Lublin used to call him the Heilige Zayde Korach. My holy grandfather Korach. So it's a very complex situation here. You can't say good, but you can't say bad. Korach. Are we going to get some air here, some air conditioning? It's very hot. I don't know. It's very hot. I mean, it's the summer. It's the summer. So this problem of how do we deal with talking about the uncomfortable details of Korach, Rashi saying it's Yofan Nidreshes. In Chazal, we went through the details. Yofan doesn't mean nice. Rashi's not trying to say these are nice drushes while others are not nice. Yofan means well. It's well addressed in the Chazal. And I think the reason for this would be because Korach becomes a textbook of machlekes. What is a machlekes shalei l'shem shamayim? How does one get sucked into a machlekes shalei l'shem shamayim? What the punishment for a machlekes shalei l'shem shamayim? So therefore it had to be often addressed. You know, there's a pasuk, an iser, lo'isiya k'kayrach ha'kadosai. So kayrach is the textbook of what's called machlekes, not good machlekes. And therefore, Yofan Nidreshes. Chazal had to detail clearly clearly on every word, to understand every angle and aspect and facet of this machlekes, because this is an example of machlekes shelo l'shem shamayim. We have to know, we don't want to be like Karech Vadasai. What makes a person like Karech Vadasai? And we're going to learn, Rabbi Isai, that people don't know. They think, I'm not doing anything wrong. This is not machlekes. I'm not making machlekes. And the truth is, yes, it is called machlekes. And yes, it is, you're being just like Karech Vadasai. And if you learn the parasha properly with the Rashi's and the Chazal, and you'll see that you misunderstood what it means to not make machlekes. You think you're not about machlekes, maybe you are. And that's why it's Yafan Nidreshes. That's what I think Abesa is the Hagdomeh, the introduction to this week's parasha. Kairach should be learned as a textbook, an example to be taken, to be learned, to be studied. What's called the machlekes shalei l'shem shamayim, like the mission of this clearly says, is the example kairach. What does one do to become a kairach? What does one do when a kairach comes and attacks him? And what happens at the end of the day to a kairach v'adasa? This is the lesson. The sugi of machlekes, what is it? And that's why it's Parshas Zu Yofa. Yofa meaning extensively, well. Well nidrash, not Yofa nice, lafuki other chazal. There's an extended emphasis of darshaning a lot, the Parshas of Kairach. And I like to begin taka, with, so to speak, to call the anatomy of a machlekes. The anatomy, what is a machlekes? And I think the pasuk begins with the first words, Vayikach Kairach. And Chazal already say, what is Vayikach Kairach? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Tes Amud Bey says, Vayikach Kairach, Lokach, Mekach, Ro La'atzmai. He took a bad deal for himself, La'atzmai. You know, it's pretty obvious that it's a bad deal. I mean, it says clearly, he ended up dying from it. So why is it important for Chazal to tell us, Vayikach, that he was Lakach, Mekach, Ro, La'atzmai? Second of all, Vayikach, where do you see in the words Vayikach that it's a Mekach, Ro, Vayikach, Kairach, he took the people with him. Rashi even says, Lakham Bidvarim, he convinced them, or Lakach, Atzmai, Litzaracher, Liyasnech, Lemitecha, Eda. Now, what do Chazal mean that he was lakach on bad deal? And I would like to say Pshat Rabbeisai, and like I said, this is an introduction to understanding the Sheirish. How does Kairach begin? And the answer is Vayikach Kairach. And that is, Kairach, as we soon will show from the Stipler's Torah on this parasha and the son Reb Chaim, walked around all day saying, I don't mean me, I mean you. You think I'm doing this for me? I'm doing it for you. Rashi says this. Rashi says on the pasuk, Madua tisnasu al kal Hashem. Yeah? Says Rashi. Vayakalem kairach. Rashi says, he said, any makbid for myself. I'm not doing it for me. Who am I doing it for? I'm doing it for you. For you. Yeah. Stipel brings down, that's interesting, that the only one that caught this lie was Ayn Ben Pelas. She told her husband, she told Ayn Ben Pelas, Ishtei Tzilasi, the wife told her, I'm sorry, not Ayn, but the wife says, at the end of the day, the only one that's gaining from all this is Kairach. So she understood, Kairach says it's you, but the truth is really him. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the son, Shlita, Maran Reb Chaim, adds to his father's Torah a very nice diak. Rashi brings down that what was Kairach's mistake? He was told that they're all going to die but one. And he said that he's the one that's going to live. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, isn't that an unbelievable thing? He walks around telling everybody, I mean you, knowing that they're going to die and he's the only one that's going to live. He knows this. He knows that he's the He knows that the truth is everyone, because everyone's going to die. One is going to live, so it's going to be him. But he really means you. He really means you. No? Says the Stipler, this is the derech of all Bali Machlaikis. The key is to listen. The minute they start saying, I only mean you, and I really mean you, and it's right, I don't mean me, you know he means me and not the other person. There are certain key words that the Bal Machlokes use, and I like the way the Stipler in Birchas Peretz ends off, and he says, this is Keldvarim Ba'alma, he's lying, yeah? V'zeu Keicha Shel Taluma Shel Machlokes. This is what the confusion of Machlokes is. It's a confusion, because it makes it sound like he means everybody besides him, and the truth is he means nobody but himself. And the way the Stipler ends off, Rachaman Yatzilenu Mehem, the Rebbein Hashem should protect us from these type of people. Why? They're deceiving. Extremely deceiving. They walk around saying, I mean Torah, I mean L'shem Shemayim, I mean the Eibishter. And the only thing he doesn't mean is the Eibishter. He only means himself. I believe that's what Chazal means by Yikach Kairach. It means that he meant atzmei. That's what it means. Vayikach, he was a taker and not a giver. That's what Chazal means. Vayikach, it's all about taking. He walked around saying, I'm giving. I'm completely selfless for the sake of the public. And the truth is, it was all about vayikach, to take and not to give. He had no intentions of giving anything to anybody. And the biggest raya is because he knows they're all going to die. What was Kervat Dasa? He probably promised them all, I'll give you shtelis. I'll give you already, what do you call that? You'll be an executive director in my organization. He gave them all tafkidim. But he all, knowing that they're all going to die. That's Vayikach La'atzmai. It was all about taking, and he had no intention of giving anything to anybody. And to me, the chiddush is even his own children. That means he knew his children were going to die. And that we see from the Chazal Vayta, because Chazal say, Rosh al Shelas Yuchsin Yoitza. So he thought it was going to be him, right? That was his mistake. He saw Shmuel. He saw Shmuel and he thought it was going to be him. And little did he know, it meant his kids. So what was he thinking? Then what? That his kids are going to die also then?
Yeah.
It was really his kids lived and he died. So what was he thinking? That he'll live and they're going to die. And he went with it anyway. And this is called Rabbi Sai Bayikach. Yeah. There's no giving whatsoever in this scenario in Kairach's mind. It's all about vayikach. I take. Zang Chazal mekach ra. It was evil because it was la'atzma. It was all about taking for himself. Abaisai. This is how the parsha should be learned and studied. To understand the anatomy of a machlekes and a bal machlekes. To hear the key words, to be able to detect what's emes and what's sheker, and that's the kavanah of the Mishnah. The kavanah of the Mishnah is to tell me what's a machlokes l'shem shemayim, what's a machlokes which is not l'shem shemayim. This is kairach v'adasai shalei l'shem shemayim, and maybe that's even what the Mishnah means. Kairach v'adasai. Knowing that Adasi has nothing from it. Maybe the machlaikas of Kairach Vadasi means that Kairach and his Ada, he had anything for his Ada? He had any plans of good for his Ada? Nothing. It's all about him. Yet he dragged thousands of people into this. Hundreds of people he dragged into it. This is Kairach Vadasi. We, of course, cannot go through every detail of the parasha. We would be here for weeks. Yafa Nidreshes. This could go on and on. But we could take out some lessons. And like I said, one of them is, the first thing is to identify the language of the Baal Machlokes, that we should be able to pick up on it. Another nekud I think is important to bring out is the chaymer of the damage that the Baal Machlokes does. You know, we find that the einish that was given to Korach was that everybody got swallowed up. Children included, Yayin Kishadayim, even babies. The Maral in Guraya asks, since when are babies chayiv? They don't have das, they don't have chatayim. So why was there an einish over here to Yayin Kishadayim, even the babies from feeding from the mother, that young? So the Maral says a teretz. You know, Machlekes is fire, it's Gehenim. So when you play with fire, you're going to get burnt. That's nothing to do what age you are. Machlekes burns. Machlekes, it's fire. Imagine a kid says, you know, I'm young, so I'm not a bar oinshim, so I can put my hand in the fire. It's not going to work. Right? If the kid puts his hand in the fire, no matter how innocent he is, he's going to get burnt. Says the Maral, and that's why the babies have, because it's machlekes, eisha machlekes. I'll tell you an interesting story. I once heard from a person in Lakewood Minyan, his name was Greenberger, his Talmud of Chafetz Chaim, that after Rav Avtoli Trop was nifter in Radin, there was machlekes who should be the next Rosh Hashiva. And the family members of the Chafetz Chaim and the different Rabbeim there, they were fighting over this issue. And it got a little bit heated. Rabbi Zal Meltzer was passing by Rabin at the time, so they were mechabit him to say a shir. He said a beautiful shir. The Olam loved it so much that they said, you know what, we want him to take over a Maftali Trump. That the Chafetz Chaim should hire him as the Memala Makam of Rav Maftali Trump. So they all signed petitions. I'd say 150 Bachrim signed their name. We want Rabbi Zalman to be the next Rosh Hashiva after Rav Avtali Trump. And they sent into the Chavetz Chaim, Izaydi Zechayin Lefracha. That's who they sent in to bring this petition. Chavetz Chaim looks at the paper. He didn't say one word. He didn't say anything. Ruf Tmir Rabbi Zalman. Call me Rabbi Zalman. I want him to come. No. They told him, Rabbi Zalman, the Chafetz Chaim wants him. He comes to the room of the Chafetz Chaim. Under a minute, he was already out. He was out of the room. And he was looking for the next train out of Rabin. When he could leave the next train. Less than a moment he was there. Less than a full minute. So they asked him, what did the Chafetz Chaim say? Chafetz Chaim told him, Rabbi Zalman, it's machlekes. Machlekes is fire. I'm claved. Who runs into a fire? You run away from a fire. That's it. That's all he told him. Less than a minute. Machlekes. Fire. I'm claved. Run away. Vekum tzafat. What are you?
No.
He left. Fire. Machlekes. And therefore it burns even a child. I would like to say another pshat rabbeisai. Why did the children die in the machlekes of Korach? And I think the pshat may be another pshat different than the Maral. When there's machlekes, the offspring cannot be any better. The shayrish of a grandfather or a father who makes machlekes, the kids are going to be Bali Machlaikis too. Like a Ben Sayyid and Meir, there's no hope for the child. Just like there's a sugi called Ben Sayyid and Meir, or I would say even a Nirani Dachas, that we kill out the whole city. Ben Sayyid and Meir, we kill a child. Because sometimes when the Shayrish is so corrupt, the only way to get rid of it is to wipe away the whole thing, including the children. When there's machlekes, that means all the children and grandchildren are going to have with themselves machlekes as well. Machlekes is in the genes, Rabbi Isai. Bali machlekes are examples for the children to be bali machlekes. I'll bring you a nice pshat in the pasuk based on this, as well as a story. If you look in Perik Tezayin pasuk Lamed Beis, it says Vatiftach ha'aretz espia, Vativla oisam vezbateyim. Does it say aleyim or bateyim? Bateyim. Bias. They had houses. They had tents. They didn't have houses. They had oil. They had a tent. As a matter of fact, even about them, it says in the pasuk in pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayatzu Nitzavim Pesach Aha Leyem. So it refers to the tent as a tent. Why all of a sudden does it refer to it as bayis? Reb Shlomo Kluger asked this for Akasha in Imri Shef. Reb Shlomo Kluger says the word batim is out of place over here. It should have said Aha Leyem. Vatiftach oretz es pio vativ lo oisam es aha lehem. Mir daktsach, the way that I explained to you why the children had to die, because it ruined the whole home. We don't mean bias the building. We mean bias the shtub, the home. Nish der hoiz, but der shtub. There's a chilek in Yiddish between a hoiz and a shtub. Shtub refers more to the children, the structure of the family. Vativtach haaretz es pia vativ la oisam. There's bateyim and their mishpacha. Because the mishpacha can't be any better. It's corrupt, it's ruined. I'll tell you a nice maisa. One of the talmidim that learned by us here in Yeshiva was doing a shidduch in Eretz Yisrael. He went to Eretz Yisrael to learn, and he called me up that they're reading him a certain shidduch. I said, listen, I don't know. I'm not from there. You have to get information about the family. Who should I ask? So I told him, I don't ask. Well, yeah, I mean, this Yiddish Akhman has felt that's a fregin in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, but I don't know. And who's going to help me? Who's going to be madrich me? I said, listen, walk over to any Talmud Chacham in Bnei Brak. He was in Bnei Brak at the time. And ask, I don't know, get hadrach, find out about the family. I'm going to speak to a Rav there, speak to a Talmud Chacham. So he tells me, who? You know the way, I don't know if you know, the Bukharian Talmud is a certain type of Talmud. He needs clear instructions. Who should I go to? So that's a joke. I said, go to Rav Shach. I meant just to say, all I meant to say was, you know what? You go to Rav Shach. He went. He went to Rav Shach to ask Rav Shach. He did it. He calls me back. And he tells me that he got into Rav Shach and he asked Rav Shach about the family because they lived around that area. Rav Shach says he knew the grandfather. And he said a very nice thing about the grandfather. That the grandfather, you know, it's Bnei Brak, there was a lot of building, shuls, a certain machlaikis, and the grandfather stayed away from the machlaikis, and he was an unbelievable grandfather. The boy kept on asking about the family and the girl, like, you know, and Rav Shach kept on saying, I know the grandfather, he stood away from the machlekes, I liked him. So he calls me up, he says, I don't know, it's funny, I keep on asking him about the family, he keeps on talking about the grandfather. So I said, you know, it doesn't sound too good. Usually if you call up about a girl and they tell you about the grandfather, you know there's something wrong, right? You want information about a boy and they start telling you about a cousin, you know there's something wrong, right? Oh, I love his cousin. His cousin is unbelievable. You know, I didn't ask him about his cousin. I asked about him. Then I thought to myself, you know what he's saying? He's saying a mayrdi gazach. He's saying machlokes. It's how the house, it's in the home. If the grandfather's in Ish Shalim, then the family are going to be bali midas tayvis. They'll get along with people. They get along with themselves. And in the home, the ikur shalom bayis. You want shalom. How could there be shalom bayis if the zayin is a bal machlokes? Faket, Rav Shach was telling him that the home is good because you see that the grandfather was not a bal machlokes. I heard over Shabbos a very nice story from my Rebbe Rav Pam. That there was once a bach who went out on a date and the girl was asking him, what yeshiva do you learn? So he said, what's the difference? Do you want to go to, in the future, do you want to go to this, to learn here? Or do, what's the nafka mina to you? What's the difference to you? Everything that was asked, he answered in like, what's the difference? Nafka mina. Oh, we'll talk about it. I don't know. The girl came back and said, no, of course, I don't want to have anything to do with this guy. This guy's crazy. Every question I asked him, he answers me, well, what's it to you? Kitza, the boy came to Rav Pam, and he tells Rav Pam, Rebbe, I don't know what I said so wrong. I mean, the girl said she doesn't want to go out with me. She hated the date. She says I was horrible. What was I so bad? So Rav Pam was thinking. He's a learned boy. He seems to be okay. Yeshiva, he didn't seem to be such a mean guy. Rav Pam chapped the story. What was the story? He came to Rav Pam a few weeks before and said he never went out with a girl before. This is his first time. He doesn't know how to talk to a girl. So Rav Pam told him, talk to her like your father talks to your mother. So the guy said, okay. So on the date, he spoke to him like his father said. Everything his mother says to his father. Father said, my lady, talk to me like that. What's it your business? What do you keep? So then the kid walks around. That's what happened. The father told him, talk. It's your mother. Talk. Talk to her like your father talks to your mother. My father did it. Rafal, the way he speaks to the mother is what to work on a date. That's how you should talk, Taka. There's an expression in Yiddish. I'd like to teach it to you. And that is, Was greise kayin, kleine spayin. What does that mean? For those of you, most of you don't speak Yiddish here. Greise means elders. Spayin, kayin means chew. What's being chewed at home by the greisa, the klein of the little ones, spying, they spit it out in the street. Which means what the kid sees at home is the way he talks in the street to people. That's the way it is. If he sees in his home shalom, if he sees in his home dercheret, kavod abrius, that's what he's going to talk to other people. Yeah. This rabbeisa is eisha machlekes. You can't come and say, he doesn't deserve an einish. It's not about an einish. He grew up in a home of machlekes. So vativla oisam, vativtachar etzis pia, vativla oisam, ve'ez batayim. You know what they say? When was the pi ha'aretz created? So there's a refurish a Mishnah. It was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. This was a Bria that the Rabbeinu Shleim created Bein Hashmashos. Why? Why is the Pi Ha'aretz Erev Shabbos? So I always understood it's not the only thing. There's like the Pi Ha'asen also, which means all strange Teva. There's Teva and there's strange Teva. The strange Teva, like the Pia Asin and the Pia Haaretz, that's Erev Shabbos before Ben Ash, which means it was the last thing right before the world was created perfect. Then Erev Shabbos, there was a few things that needed to be stored away for interesting times in history. And one of them is this, Pia Haaretz. And so too, Pia Asin. Or maybe it has to do with Shabbos. Certain things have to do with Shabbos. We know that Shabbos and Shalom is very much connected. It's brought down in Sfarim that especially on Shabbos, the Yetzirah works to make machlaikas. And that's what the Pasuk means. Le'sivaru Eish. Notice the word Eish again. B'chom Meishveiseichem B'yoyim HaShabbos. Shabbos and Eish don't go together. Eish meaning machlekes. Machlek Shabbos is about shalom. I don't know if you notice that the piyutim and the zmiris that we say Friday night, it's all about shalom. Adin hashalom, melech shashalom shaloi, bracheni bashalom, shalom, 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 shalom aleichem, brachuni l'shalom. It's all shalom. It's all shalom, 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 shalom. Every third word is shalom. Yeah? Even when you give a person a bracha, what do you say? Shabbat Shalom. Ashkenazim say good Shabbos. I don't know if it's such a good idea. They shouldn't say good Shabbos. They should say Shabbat Shalom. It's about Shabbos and Shalom. It's about peace. Shabbos is about peace. Shabbos is all about Shalom. I think it's possible that we can understand even the bracha that we give the children. We give a bracha to children Friday night. Why? Also, Yasim l'chashalim. The bracha that we give the children Shalom. And I think it's interesting at the Shabbos table, we want there should be peace between brothers. So we give Yasim l'chashalim, and maybe that's why we pick a Friday of Menashe. And the Farshim ask, why don't we say Yisimcha l'chim keruvim, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda? Why Ephraim and Menashe? So the famous Tarets is that they were who they were, even in Mitzrayim. So we give a bracha that even in Galus, the child shouldn't be influenced by the outside Galus. And okay, so Yisimcha l'chim keruvim and Menashe, that even though they were in Galus, they remained Heilig Menshin, Heilig Yidden, right? So could be that's why we pick Ephraim and Menashe to be the example of the bracha. I'm thinking maybe, you know, Ephraim and Menashe, there was no kinnah. And even though Ephraim was the younger one, was put before Menashe. Yisimcha l'chim k'Ephraim u'chim Menashe, and yet there was shalom. There was peace between them. Yisimcha Ephraim. Look how we say it. We even speak out the younger one before the old one. Yisim chalikim to Ephraim Chimnash. And he didn't get jealous. And he didn't fight with his brother. Because this is shalom. This is bracha. Bracha is Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gemara says the Rabbi Yisrael searched and he couldn't find the Kli Machzik bracha. Yaisir Meha shalom. Shalom is a Kli for bracha. Shalom bracha. So Mamela. We come and we give the bracha to the children about V'yasim l'chashalim and the examples of Ephraim and Menashe, and that's why it's Friday night, which is Shabbos Shalom, and maybe that's where the lashon Shabbos Shalom u'mevarach. We don't just say Shabbat Shalom; we say Shabbat Shalom u'mevayrach, because the Shabbos, the Shalom, is the bracha of Shabbos. There's a famous shaila. It says in the tefillah we say that. That the Rabbi Nishloilam, give me a siddur, the lashon of the Musaf. The lashon of the Musaf. We talk about the bracha. Right? The bracha of Shabbos. What is the bracha of Shabbos? Right? Kihim ekeira bracha. Shabbos is always the bracha. See, there's a lot of talk what bracha we're referring to. I would say they are pashin. We mean the bracha of shalom. Shabbos creates shalom. Oh. It's brought down in the Zohar that the tikkun for the chet of kairach is Shabbos. We all know that who is kairach tzadik katama yifrach, ke'erez bavoni tzadik katama yifrach is going on Rosh Hashanah, right? Kairach tzadik katama yifrach kairach. Where is it brought? In Mizmar Shel Yom HaShabbos. In the Mizmar of Shel Yom HaShabbos, says the Zohar, because the tikkun for the chet of Kairach is Shabbos. How is it a tikkun for the chet of Kazer Pashit? Since Kairach was Machlaikis. So Shabbos is Shalom. Memela, the tikkun of Kairach is Shalom. Now I want to show you something very interesting. Brought down the Zayah that a Talmud Chacham is Shabbos. Talmud Chacham is Bechina Shabbos. As a matter of fact, it's famous that the Baal Shem, Zech Tzadik Levracha, once saw a Chil Shabbos. And he was wondering why. Why did he see Chil Shabbos? His holy eyes, Zayne Heilige Egenzel Zena Chil Shabbos. And he said that whenever you see an Aveira, it's that they're teaching you a lesson. That you did something wrong, even though the other person is doing the Aveira, but you're supposed to learn from that, that maybe you have a gam in that area, and you should be misakin it. Says the Baal Shem, and he thinks to himself, where did I chil Shabbos? I was on chil Shabbos. Oh, he came up with this idea. A Talmud Chacham is like Shabbos. Yes, there were maybe times where he heard a bizayin against a Talmud Chacham, and he didn't stand up. Shh! And he didn't stand up for the cover of the Talmud Chacham. That's called Chil Shabbos. He was mechallel the Shabbos. We'll put the air conditioner on there. He was mechallel the Shabbos. Put it on, don't put it on. He was mechallel, huh?
Did you call that?
Yeah, but they closed it.
No.
No, he closed. They closed it.
Sorry.
That they were mechallel the Shabbos. So, Chil Shabbos is like being Mechal Talmud Chacham. Huh? Now I want to show you something very interesting, yeah? Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom V'Aylam. Being Mevaza Talmud Chacham is going against Shalom. Koirach. By take, and the Tikkun is Shalom. You see? It goes together. Talmud Chacham is Shalom, Shabbos is Shalom, Talmud Chacham is Bechina Shabbos, and together, they have the inyan of Shalom. So we have a Meridika lesson to be learned. Shabbos, the important thing is, Kavet Talmid Chachamim. Can you imagine you sit at a Shabbos table? Yeah. The Shabbos is meant to be Marbis Shalom. If a person is Mevaza Talmud Chacham, it's going against the whole union of Shalom, right? Koirach. So I'm just showing you that you see clearly that since the Baal Shem explains that by hearing or being part of a Bizoyan Talmud Chacham, that's called like Chil Shabbos. So imagine a person sits at a Shabbos table and is Mevaza Talmud Chacham. That's a type of Chil Shabbos HaBeisa. You're keeping Shabbos, yeah, physically. But the truth is you're sitting there and you're desecrating what Shabbos stands for. Then the Inyan of Machlekes. How many times people get involved with Machlekes and on Shabbos about nothing and they talk about Machlekes. The trick is Shalom. Shabbos was designated for Shalom. Now I want to show you another interesting nekuda. You didn't put it on right. I don't know. It's not working. You want to take care of it. Okay. There's another lesson to be taken from, so to speak, the textbook of Koirach, of Machlaikis, and that is, like we learned till now, what is the language of Machlaikis, to identify it, to be careful from it. Also, what is the Tetzah, what does Machlaikis do? How Shabbos is meant to undo all that, Shabbos is the time of Shalom. What should a person do when he is the being confronted by the Machlaikis? The Machlaikis is against him. What becomes his responsibility? Someone's fighting with me, I'm not fighting with him. The famous Chazal, that with everybody in the office, the Mishnah, right? Koirach v'adasai. How come it doesn't say Koirach against Moshe? And the Mefarshim say, it's Yadua, that Moshe wasn't part of the Machlaikis. That's what everybody said. Moshe wasn't part of the Machlaikis, so therefore, Shammai and Hillel was Shammai and Hillel against each other. Koirach v'Adasai wasn't Koirach against Moshe, because Moshe was not a participant in the Machlaikis. People have a misunderstanding because they say this vart, and they think, as long as I don't participate, as long as I ignore it, as long as I turn the other way, that's good, that's called not being part of the Machlaikis. And the truth is, it's more. Your responsibility is a lot more than just ignoring the Machlaikis. If you look at the Pasuk tells us Moshe's reaction wasn't just to ignore. Like you think the Pshat, that Mishnah, Moshe wasn't part of it. He was much more active and then just by being passive and not being part of it. Pasuk says clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu says Vayoyim Moshe El Kairach Shimu No B'nei Levi. Please what? Rashi says it was Dvarim Rakim. He spoke very softly to them. He was trying to Yizak Me'ibibet Mefayez Zayin. He's trying to Mefayez them. Now don't forget, they said the worst things about him. They said horrible things about him. As a matter of fact, Chazal say that because of what Kairach said, the next step was that everyone said about Moshe Rabbeinu that he was mezana with their wife. So there was a rumor going around because of Kairach that Moshe Rabbeinu was mezana with all the women, all of them. Melamich kolech vecha, Chazal say. Everyone, every single one said that, yes, look, you, my wife, you went with Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't you go near him. Unbelievable to be Zion that, you, right? What's Moshe Rabbeinu's response? His response is, Shimuna, please, Dvarim Rakim, soft talk, trying to get them to be Chayzer B'tshuva, trying to stop the fight. Not enough, and we're soon going to see how this becomes a lesson. Chazal uses this as a textbook lesson for us. The Gemara says that what do we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? Mikan she'ei machzikim b'machlekes. Later on, the pasuk says he calls them. Hayishlach Moshe likra l'dasul v'aviram. Mikan she'ei machzikim b'machlekes. Shohayim mechazer achreim lashlimam b'divrei shalom. It's a mistake. People think as long as I don't get involved and I look the other way, and you see clearly that it's more than, you need to do more than just not get involved and to ignore it. You got to actively try to get the other person to make shalom with you. And if not, you call the machzik b'machlokes. What did Kayach already say the worst things about him? Moshe Rabbeinu's response is nice things. He says sweet things to him. Dvarim rakim. He's trying to elevate him. Hamat, look how special. Look what you have. Look who you are. And I want to tell you something interesting. The Brisker Rav learns that Kairach was a kaifer. He had a din of a real kaifer. He was mevaz in the midst of tzitzis. He said, "Ein Torah men hashamayim." Moshe Rabbeinu's not the navi. So if any response from Moshe to scream at Kairach, you know, he would be the right one to be having mekam achloit shem shamayim. If anything, Moshe Rabbeinu should have responded viciously towards Kairach, because that would be L'shem Shemayim. Kairach was a kaifer. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have responded by wiping Kairach off, he'd be right. And yet, Fakert, not only he doesn't wipe him to the ground, knock him to the ground, what does he do? He... Navlechem, no, sweet, Dvarim Rakim, Divrei Shalom. You hear? And this is called Mikan, that you now be Machzik Machlaikis. Is it a Maila not to be Machzik Machlaikis? Or is it an Aveira if you are a Machzik Machlaikis? It's not just a Maila that you're not a Machzik Machlaikis, Rabbi Yisai. It's not something just Moshe Rabbeinu did. You know, you read this, you say, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu was a tzaddik. What does that do with me? We learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody who's machzik b'machloikis. Now, is it only that I should not be a machzik? Is it a good thing? Or maybe it's an aveir if I am a machzik b'machloikis. Chazal say, kol machzik b'machloikis, roi litztareya. He's fit to get, it's a Moran Sanhedrin daf kufyud, roi litztareya, he's fit to get saras. And the Mefarshim ask, what do you mean roi litztareya? Either you should get tzaras or you shouldn't get tzaras, and then why would he be getting tzaras? And I always understood the pshat in the Gemara as follows. A person who speaks Lashon Hara gets tzaras. How about the person who in the fight doesn't stop the fight? He didn't speak Lashon Hara. So he'll walk around saying, I didn't say Lashon Hara, I just don't say anything. Roi litztareya. You see, all the Lashon Hara that's going to come from this machlaikis might not come from your mouth, but it's going to come because the machloikis continues. You have some part of that. You have some guilt in the fact that there's machlaikis because you didn't stop it. And therefore you're a roilitz tareya. No? Pili ploy. Chazal are telling us it's not enough just to come and say, I look the other way. I forgive him. It's more than that. You have to go out of your way to make him that he should be friends with you. I once called Rav Gavriel Ginsburg, Zechari Levracha. He lives to live in Queens. And then later on he became a Rosh Hashiva in Toronto, in Eretz Yisrael. He was my Zaidi's neighbor. And I asked him, could you tell me about my Zaidi? He said, I want to tell you a tremendous mila. It was impossible to fight with your Zaidi. Impossible. He said, because even if you did something wrong, he made you feel like, not that you did something wrong, that he did something wrong to you. And he used to make you like, please be meichel me that, like, and you couldn't fight with him. It was impossible. What are you going to get angry at? A person who instead of blaming you for what you did wrong, blames himself for what? Yeah? This is the pshat. Imagine, yeah? Maxi b'machloikis doesn't mean just I'll look the other way. For carrot, you have to go out of your way and make that he should be your friend. Kilu, you did something wrong and you have to memphis him. Who did something wrong here? Kairach. Maisha was 100%. Yet Maisha is being memphis him as if Kairach is right and he's wrong. No. For carrot, instead of telling him, listen, you're wrong. You did a terrible thing here. And if not, you call the Maxim Machloikis. I like always to say over a lesson that I learned in my life. The Baal Tefillin, my father's shul, he was a very devoted member of the shul. He was devoted to my Zayda Zecharin Levracha. He used to daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and he was devoted to, and even after my Zaydi was nifty, he was devoted to the shul. The devotion came after an incident. Originally, my Zaydi used to give hashgacha by this person's restaurant. And there was rumors that the hashgacha was somewhat of a, there was an issue in kashrus. And the truth is there was no real issue, but it was something that had, that was sorry, like every other kashrus, there's always something. And the person was happened to have been losing business at the time. So he blamed that on my Zayda. He blamed it that because he said that if there wouldn't have been this question about the kashrus, this wouldn't have been. And the truth had nothing to do because the story of the kashrus was not true. It's and the person was looking for a scapegoat, so he blamed it on my Zayda. So one day when my Zayda walked into the hashgacha, this person unloaded on him with such horrible talk. And he was mevazah him and he told him, get out of my store. It was horrible, horrible talk. Later on, it was this bar, like I explained to you, that my Zaydi was rather right. It was a misunderstanding. The person who came to check thought it was a misunderstanding. The whole story, okay? Yet, with this person, there was no peace. It was a horrible story. My Zaydi was sick from it. He was a very lovable person. No one ever spoke to him like that. This was maybe from the first few times that anyone ever spoke to him like that. It was hard for him to swallow it. It was hard. My father told me one day, he comes to my Zayda. My Zayda says, you know, we have to go Nichum Aveilim today. So my father asks, who? So he says, this person from the restaurant, he's sitting Shiva. My father said, him? You're going to go Nichum Aveilim to him? What are you talking about? Nobody in your life ever hurt you as much as this person. And for no reason. And my Zayda's response was, Ichge, you don't want to come? You don't have to come. I'm going. I'm going to go. So he asked, but why? He said, you know, there's a time and a place when to hold a grudge. When another Yid is Bavelis and he's suffering, it's not the time to show that there's that there's pirut. Sina. It's not the time for it. I go, Menachem Avol him, I'll bend my head and I'll be Menachem Avol. The story has it, as it you'll soon see. My Zayda walked in, this person was shocked. Couldn't believe it. he was so moved by it. My Zayda sat there and he was Menachem Avim. He sat extra time. And he was so moved by it that he turned around to become my grandfather's closest, from his closest people. He moved near the shul and he started davening for the Amid and he ran the shul. He didn't leave my grandfather for a second. Yeah, for that moment of bending his head, yeah, that the Zayda bent his head and said, you know, shalom. I'll be the one to bend the world. As a matter of fact, when he was nifted, this person, his son got up and said that my father used to say the last 10 years of his life that he had a hard time every time he thought Mashiach was coming, because if Reb Shmuel Valkin didn't bring Mashiach in his time, I'm having a hard time with it. I thought for sure Mashiach would come in his day. That's the love that this person and the respect, the reverence this person gained from a maisa of his batlus, from a maisa of achna. And this Rabbi Yisrael has had to do. You have a fight with your neighbor. Some people think they're big tzaddikim. What do? They look the other way. They ignore. That's not... you're supposed to say nice things and say, come over, like we learned by Yishlach, to call them. Call them. Yeah. Tell them to come down. We'll talk about it. Even though you know you're 100% right. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was 100% right. And I felt PK. This Rabbi Yisrael is the lesson. The lesson. That Kairach, and if not, you could fall into the problem of Loisia ki Kairach ukadasi. You know, there's a part of Kairach which needs to be understood. Chazal say Kairach was a pikeach. He was very, very smart. Now the question is, if he's so smart, so what's the teretz? He did a stupid thing. So, you know, Mezaktiv Reb Chaim Briska, that what's called a smart person? That he says smart things? No. That a kenizang kenarish zach. That's called a smart person. Smart people, not just the boys, they say smart things. Hamen zuzakta narishkeit is always chacham. So how could Chazal call him? Sepikech hayamara lishtuzeh. Manevshach, tacha problem. Yeah? So the truth is, the words of the Chazal, the way Rashi brings it, it answers the question. Einai kitasai. His eye. He saw things wrong. Now, really, where is the mistake? He saw shasheles, yuchsin, yoitzim, imenu, yeah? Tell me, he couldn't think for 1 minute it might be his son. That no one could think of. So you could come and say he didn't know, yeah? But this, it's a pashta teretz. He'll die and his kids will live. Okay. So either we could come and say, like I said before, that it's immeglich if he was wrong, and the machleik is that his kids should be healthy. He didn't think it's possible that his kids can break away. Like we said before, that machleikis means it runs in the family. We said it, Yisoid, machleikis runs in the family. Kairach knew this. If he's right, yeah, so it can't be that his kids, right?
I mean, new kids, for me, new kids.
Right? It can't be that those kids will survive. So then he has to survive. The only problem is, I asked you from the other chazal, which says that they're all going to die, besides one, and he said he's the one. So what happened to his kids? Okay, well, that's for a shaila for a different time. But upon him, this is the shaila in the Chazal. Nara, and the answer is, it is a pashta teretz, that maybe his kids are going to live. But even a pashta teretz, someone doesn't see. You know why? Ayin. A person sees what he wants to see. Eina hitasai. What's eina hitasai? You see, a person with his eye could be suffice and happy. He could be tzefriden vasahat. And if not, then the ayin, much like by Bilam, we have an ayin is a chaymed. It's a tremendous chaymed. Kairach had so much, and that's really what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them. You have so much. Rav lechem b'nei Levi. I mean, you have so much. Be happy with what you have. And the teretz is einai hitasai. The ayin of chemda, and here was the chemda of kavod. The chemda of kavod, you hear? The ayin Hitasi. It's a big lesson in life. A person could have who knows how much money or who knows how much fame. He could throw it all away for the pursuit of a little bit more. Could you imagine a person throws away $10 million to get $5 more dollars? So you're laughing, right? Look in the mirror, they say. You should be laughing at yourself because we all do this all the time. In the pursuit of one more Yetzer Hara and one more Taiva and one more, a few extra dollars, a person could put himself in a situation where he loses everything. And that's Kairach. Kairach gambled everything. Rav Lachem, he had it all. Compared to everything else, he had it all in the pursuit of a little bit more. The Mishnah tells us, Ezehu Asher HaSameach B'chelkei. It's the Mishnah in this week's Pirkei Avos. What's the Pshat Sameach B'chelkei? What does it mean, Sameach B'chelkei? What chelik are we referring to? Mamas is interesting. There's a pasuk that the Mishnah brings. Yigia kapecha kisaycha, ashrecha v'tayvlach. So we see ashrecha, that's pshat, ezel asher hasameh b'chalkai, because yigia kapecha kisaycha ashrecha. So you're happy. What are you happy with? So it's machlaikas. Some say chelke means chelke agashmi. We're referring to Chaim Elozhin learns like this. You should be sameach in your chelek agashmi. Whatever you have a raise, a smaller house, be happy with it. You have a not the fanciest car, be happy with it. Chelke agashmi. Tell us Yankiv Yosef, Chassam Sefer, and Bemis, you should know it's a chinuch. I think in Mitzvah Shin Aleph by Karbonis, he says that chelke means your chelek that you're a yid. Hey, Zel Wash, you're right, maybe you might not have that much money. But Chelkai, Ashreinu Matayim Chelkeinu, Mandayim Geirileinu, Umayofi Yerushaseinu, Mr. Chayid. Bali Musa always said, how could a person say that he's unhappy if he says, Shalayasani Gai? The minute you say Shalayasani Gai, that should make you happy for the day already. That itself should tell a person, Ashreinu Matayim Chelkeinu, I'm happy. I like to say over a story all the time. I heard from my brother, Reb Avram. My brother, Reb Avram, had a friend that was depressed. So he tells my brother he's going to Eretz Yisrael. Should he go get brachas for depression from Gedayim? So my brother said, why not? Can't hurt. It's schlecht. So he went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and he tells Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Ani Atzuv. You can imagine an American boy telling Reb Chaim, Ani Atzuv. Reb Chaim picks up his head, opens up his eyes. Atzuv, atzvus, haloi Chanukah hayom, was Chanukah, haloi Chanukah hayom. Atzvus, he looks the guy like a meshugan. He fell off a boat. Imagine a guy saying he's a little dancing by his chasen. Ani atzuv. It doesn't make sense. He don't go hand in hand. This guy had such musa from the way Reb Chaim reacted. For the rest, never, ever, ever since then, did he have 1 minute of depression. Reb Chaim was telling him, you have such a mitzvah, Chanukah, to be atzuv. What are you talking about? That's what it means. Ezehu Asher, asameach b'chelkei, that you're yid. You have mitzvahs. So what could you be unhappy about? There's an interesting Tanan de Be'eliyahu, Rabbi Yisai. Talmud Yo says that the Ma'ilus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are, one of them is Rachum Chanun, and therefore we have Mahu Rachum Afata. Another one is Sameach Bechelke. What's the Peshat? Rabbi Yishim Sameach Bechelke. What does it mean? So I learned from this, Yisayit, that Sameach Bechelke, it doesn't mean practically a person's happy, because it doesn't mean the Abish is happy. What's he? Sameach Bechelke is a Midah. It's not the Peshat you're happy. There's a mida of being content. An atzuv, and a person who's mevakish chemda more and more and more, that's a chisaron and a mensch. The Rebbein Shem doesn't have chisaronis. It's not so much a zehu asher, hasameach, it means to be happy. And that's what the Mishnah is trying to tell you, you know you should be happy. Then it's not shayat to the Eibishter. Sameach b'chelkei must be a mida. a shleimus. There's a shleimus of a person who's not a, he's not a unhappy. He's not a broken. He's not looking for anything. He's content. Right? Ba Shabbos, ba Menucha. The Rebbein Shalom was Shabbos Menucha. He was there's shleimus, content, Shabbos, Shalom. Pay attention, Shalom. Right? What is Shalom? The root word of Shalom is shleimus. Shalem. Content. You know where machlekes comes from? When people are not content. And that's why I'm talking about this inyan of, and the maiso, where is Shalom? One of the names of the Abishta is? No?
Shalom.
Eh? Sameh v'chelkei. Eh? Machlekes. Eh? That all fits. Eh? They missed the first hour and a half of this year, which I explained to them what Shabbos is and Shalom and Vechule. But the point of it is, you hear? You hear the Rebbein Shalom Shalom. Rebbein Shalom is a Sameach Bechelkei. When someone is not a Sameach Bechelkei, what happens? He makes machlekes, he's discontent, and therefore he fights with everybody. Kiranda, there's an interesting guy that says Pshat in the Tanya. You know, I think even though it's not exactly relevant to the shir, but I think it's an interesting goyim. But you see, obviously, from the goyim that bothered him, the kasha. Says the goyim, it's going on Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yisrael looks at Klal Yisrael is chelk, is menas chelkai. Klal Yisrael is his chelik. So no matter what Klal Yisrael is, he's sameach bechelkai. Better, worse, it's a goyim of faith. It's a Shayna Gayan. The Rebbein Shalom's an Ashi, he's a Sameach Bechelkei. The Pshat is, he's a Sameach with Klal Yisrael. It's a freedom, Klal Yisrael. Yeah? Hashem, Klal Yisrael is called Chelik Hashem Amei. Where's Chelik? Right? Okay, so now we have a big Yisoid. And when a person is a Sameach Bechelkei, he has Shalom, he has Shleimus. Okay. Why is it that a person is an Asher only if he's a Sameach Bechelkei? So there's an interesting Medrash Shmuel. Medrash Shmuel says, most Haivas you get sick of after a while. You can't. How much food could you eat, right? You get sick of it after a while. Money is the exact opposite. The more you have, the more you want. There's never a time where it's, I'm full. Asher means you're full, you're happy, you're content. So the only way to do that is if you make the bar, Sameach Bechelkei. Since it continuously goes and goes and goes, you'll never feel rich. You want to feel rich, make a bar for yourself. You hear? And that becomes, there's a cap. Okay, I have enough money. Oh, now you'll feel very good about yourself. It's gewaldig, I'm an Asher. Otherwise, you never feel you're an Asher. Zeh Zot the Medrash for beautiful pshat, you hear? Rav Reuven Gazovsky says, Shtel Su, the Indian of the Zer, the crown of the Shulchan. Shulchan, we all know, is Parnas, it's Ashiris. Where was the Zer the crown? Was it on the Shulchan or was it on the Mizgeris? It was on the Mizgeris. Why? The boundary. You know where the Zer, the Kesser of Ashiris, it's on the boundary that you put. It's not on the Shulchan itself. Rav Reuven Gazovsky is Meirdik. When I say Salam de Rosh Hashiva, so Meirdik Drusha Meisak. See, Shane, you hear? It's not on the Shulchan. All other things, the Zer was on the Mizbech itself. Here, the Zer is where? On the Mizgeris of the Shulchan. Because the Mizgeris, the Mizgeris that you put, Mizgeret is that you have to have a, you know, today Mesila teaches you Mizgeret. That's the whole thing of Mesila. They teach you budget. Mizgeret is budget, Rabbi say. When you make a budget, you don't need too much, you need this, you need that. Then it becomes what? The Zer, the Shenkite, the crown. Okay. There's an interesting Rab Chaim Volozhiner. Rab Chaim Volozhiner says, what's the word Hasameach? You're happy. Now, you see, if a person's not content, he walks around fighting with people. And most of them not content today, everybody says in Parnassa. That's really where it is. People, because they're not content, if they had money, they'd be happier. You know, that's usually what it is. Then there's another, okay, you're right. Then there's the COVID problem. Gemara says Rebbe Mechaber Ashirim. Why was Rebbe Mechaber Ashirim? Because Rebbe was an Aisha, Zak the Zayda, and he knew their Nisyanis. Rebbe knew what the the poor Asher, what he has to go through when he comes to Shul. Is he looking at me? Is he giving me the right? It's not easy to be an Asher. The Ani thinks I wish I was the Asher. The Asher thinks, you know what? It's a big headache, the whole thing. But what's the pshat? Rebbe, who was an Asher, Mechaber Asher, because he knew their weak points, and therefore he said they go through a lot of Nisyanis, we have to respect them. Okay. So what becomes the most of the bickering and the dissatisfaction? A person doesn't have the right amount of money. That's really where. And you notice that people who are unfortunately difficult during the parnos of the week, they come to the shul and they let it all out in shul, fighting with everybody and everything they see. Okay. So there's a verb from Chaim Velazhe which is relevant to us, and that is Hasimeach Bechelkei. First of all, why does it say Chelkei? It should say Hasimeach B'mashiyeshlei. So the Chofetz Chaim says Pshat. You should be happy because this is your chelik in life. Everybody has his lot. This is your lot in life. You know, this is what the Eibishter gave you. Be happy with it. You can't want what the other guy wants because it's not for you. Like the Evan Ezra, you're not going to be mekana what doesn't what's not for, meant for you, right? So to here, it's chelkecha. Okay. Reb Chaim Velazhe says, you know why it's called chelik and not b'mashi yeshlei? Because no one ever gets the full. You only get chelik anyway. In your mind, by the way, it's always only a chelik anyway. It's just somewhat of and a portion of. So Sameach, you're happy that it's that. Okay, good enough. You know, Hasameach, doesn't say Mamashi Eishlei. Mechelkai, because no one ever gets more. You don't get the full gamut of it. Okay. So what's that Sameach? Sakim Chaim Velazhe. You know what the problem is? That we look every day that it's kumtons. Mamela, we get tired of it. You know, I gave always the famous example, kids with toys. I don't know if you know. They can look forward for a toy. If you get it to them 3-4 hours later, they're bored. They're looking on to something else already. Yeah? But if they feel every time that it's a matana, at that moment they feel good. If you look at Parnassa the same way, that every moment and every dollar that comes in is a matana from the Eibishter, you'll be sameach. You'll be very happy with it. The problem is, yeah, okay, I have parnasa. Yeah, but that's matana. What do you mean, yeah, parnasa? It's no different than the child. And it's a good lesson for children, by the way. If I may tell you an incident I have in my own home. I have my little daughter, she wanted a certain doll. Okay. I had no idea what she wanted, nor was I going to get it for her. But she went to my mother. She knew the right route, so she went to my mother, and my mother, yeah, of course, bought her this doll. Okay. I'm a shigas, $100 a doll, I'm a sugar in cup, okay? Yiddish doctor's dufka hib in the cup. For weeks, the doll, until it came in the mail. Okay. The first 2-3 hours, unbelievable. She got on Erev Shabbos. Friday night, it had to sit next to us on the table. There was a chair for the doll those days. Sat there, the doll, okay. After the meal, I saw already she stopped paying attention to the doll. She went on to the next thing. By the next morning, I found the doll on the floor. So I walked over to because it bothered me, Musa, it bothered me very much. I walked over to her, I said to her, excuse me, this doll, why is it on the floor over there in the corner? I plug in Maydala. I put her to sleep. But it's funny, she slept already for 3 weeks. I hadn't seen the... she's hibernating there for 3 weeks already. So I say, V'achleis was on the gestorben, and I know what happened to it. And they say, we look at it the same way. We want and we beg, the Eibishter was a mapanos, the Eibishter gives it to us. A minute later, so we're next to the next thing. This is Hasameach V'chelkei. The lesson is pashut, yeah. That a person has to be content. Otherwise, he starts eina itasa, his eyes drake to my cup, that he needs more and better and bigger. So what's taka the solution? What's the answer? How does one make himself content? And the answer is, I think the actual Mishnah teaches us this, you say. First of all, to be sameach b'chelkei, to learn to be happy. But how does one learn to be happy? Let's take the pasuk that the Mishnah brings. Yekia kapecha kisaicha. Yeah. What's yigia kapecha? You know the word yigia kapecha means? Hard work. You know when people don't work hard for what they have, they don't appreciate what they have. And easy come, easy go, they'll dispense it. Yigia kapecha. The first thing is, it's got to come from yigia. You know, madua tisnasu akal Hashem. Kairach. It was given to him. When something is given, then automatically, what do you want? You want more, and more, and more. Yigia ka pecha. Why does it say ka pecha? So there's a word from the Svasemis, b'shem the Kotzkes, meiridik, 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 meiridik. Ka pecha. When you go to work, Rabbi Isai, only the hands should be involved in the work. The cup. Zozayin yishtub, zozayin b'smerish. How many people go to work and they put their whole self and their whole mind, everything into the work? You'll never be happy. You know when the right way, the right healthy attitude to everything is? Yigia kapecho. Your hands work hard. The vase where the cup is, the cup is on your stub. Your head should be in the vase medrash. It should be an andere zachen. You got to work, so you work. So you got to work hard. And you also have to know there's work and there's life. If work becomes life, Rabbi Isai, you're lost. So yigia kapecha. Ki Seichel, the third lesson, and that is, that's all you need. It's all about working to make eating. Doesn't say more than that. Then you'll be an Oisha Samech Bechalte. If working is to make Olam Hazeh and fun, and you're right, it's you'll never be happy. But if it's about Ki Seichel, like Reisi Tzadik Nezav Zam Vakish Lachem, Debish Shik Panosa. So it's Yigia A. Lesson two, kapecha. Lesson three, kisaycha. Ashrecha b'tayla b'aylam mazeh. And I'd like to end with the final vort from the Geres Hatil, which is the brother of the Maral. The brother Maral says, Meiridik, a netriken, oisher. What is ashiris? Eh? Ashiris, ezeu osher, hasamea b'chalkai. Which chalkai are we talking about? So he said either gashmi or ruchni, or maybe Chelkai, that he has all his extremities. What is Ashirus? It's a Nayim, Ayin, Shinayim, Yadayim, and Raglayim. Ezehu Asher, be Sameach b'Chelkai, that you have health, and you have Atadas Amem. Shouldn't think, oh, I have money in the bank, so what? Many sick people in the hospitals have much money in the bank. Was husband them? Ezeu Asher Sameach b'Chelkai, him that he is able, content. This is the lesson on Rabbi Isai. The lesson is on Shabbos a person should go and thank the Rebbeinu Shleilam that he has health. He should thank the Rebbeinu Shleilam that he's able to learn in Davin. He should thank the Eibush that he has food on the table. If you start thinking that you're chaser, shalom, the opposite shalom, that you're chaser, you'll be unhappy. And you'll come to the shul, and you'll fight with everybody, and you'll fight with your wife, and you'll let it out on everybody that moves. He's your target, because you're not happy. These are the lessons that should be taken in order not to fall into the trap of Lysia, Kikairach, Ukadasak.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.